So this morning's reading comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, verses 1 through 16. The version of the Bible being projected is the New Living Translation, so it will vary a bit from your pew Bibles, FYI. So the general gist of this passage is that there is a king named Ahab, who recently has risen to power in Israel, and we're told in chapter 16 that he has done more to anger God than any king that has preceded him. So God, in this passage, in response to Ahab's having created a temple and an altar to a foreign god, in response to that, he causes a drought. And it's not just Ahab who is affected by this drought, but all of God's people, including the prophet Elijah. So in order to save Elijah's life, God sends him first to a brook, where a raven actually brings him food on a daily basis. And then after that brook dries up and there's no water, God then sends Elijah to the home of a poor, emaciated widow and her poor, emaciated son, and they have but flour and oil left for one more meal, but they share that with him, and then their provisions last throughout the drought. God blesses them with this miracle. So that's the gist of today's story. I pray that you hear that in these words of 1 Kings. Now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, "As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word." Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go to the east and hide by Kerith Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food." So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside Kerith Brook, east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. But after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you." So he went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, "Would you please bring me a little water in a cup?" As she was going to get it, he called to her, "Bring me a bite of bread too." But she said, "I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die." But Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: there will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers, until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again." So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Here ends our reading. May we be blessed with understanding. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Gracious God, Father and Mother of us all, we invite your presence into this space as we prepare ourselves to meditate on this ancient story, a story which speaks to the way you work through unexpected people. May you open our eyes, our minds, and our hearts to the unexpected lessons and mercies that might be found within its verses. We ask this in all things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So before I begin this morning, I feel the need to assure you that the story I'm about to tell you is 100% true. I did not make it up. It will sound like an urban legend, but I assure you the event that I'm about to describe was reported to me immediately after it happened. I even called the friend that was involved in this story this week to confirm that I had not embellished the plot line in my mind. He assured me that I had not. The only thing that I will change is that there is some colorful language that was used in the actual event. I'm going to tone that down for this congregation. So are you ready for this? This is quite a story. So back when I was a young man in divinity school, my roommate was a friend from my hometown in upstate New York. He did and still does work in Boston at an accounting firm. The apartment we shared was in Cambridge, and if you're familiar with Cambridge geography, we lived just outside of Central Square, just about at where Western Ave and Putnam Ave meet. It's about one block from the river, great location. So one summer day, this friend of mine, he got a promotion at work. He'd been working towards it for a long time. So of course, he and his colleagues decided to go out and celebrate right after work. It was a Friday evening, and some drinks and some fun were had. It was all good, wholesome stuff. They closed down the bar that they were at, and my roommate hopped a cab to come back home, and he had the cabbie drop him off right in Central Square, and he was just going to walk the couple blocks to our house. So as you may know, Central Square is the one part of Cambridge that is still a little bit gritty, shall we say. There's a cast of colorful characters around there at all hours of the day and night. So my friend arrives in Central. He uses all the money that's left in his wallet to pay his cab fare, plus giving the cabbie a generous tip, and he hops out of the cab. As he's about to walk away, though, the cabbie jumps out of the car and pulls a knife on him and demands all the money he has in his wallet. So my friend explains to the cabbie that he's already given him every last cent that he has, but he'd go to an ATM and get out more so long as the guy did not get any closer to him. So there they are. They're in Central Square. They're walking. My friend is walking backwards like this. The cabbie is walking toward, keeping his distance, but walking towards him, a knife still in his hand. And out of nowhere comes one of the homeless residents of Central Square, shirtless. And he walks up to my friend, apparently unperturbed by what's going on. And he says, "Is this guy giving you trouble?" My friend says, "Well, yeah, he's my cabbie, but now he's trying to mug me." The shirtless guy responds, "Well, you're in luck, because I'm the meanest mother in Cambridge." He then lunges at the cabbie, who immediately loses his nerve and runs back to his cab. My friend thanks the shirtless guy profusely and then runs home at a sprint. You just can't make up this kind of story. It's completely true. Now, I don't think I'm going out on too much of a limb when I say that most of us here, and if you don't mind me making up statistics, I'd say a full 10 out of 10 of us, when we're in a bind, when we're in a pickle, when we're in a rough patch, our first impulse is not to drive around Central Square at 2 o'clock in the morning looking for some dude not wearing a shirt to help us out. Is that true enough? True enough. In the same way, when the prophet Elijah was in need of food to keep from starving to death, his first impulse was probably not to go to the home of a poor, emaciated widow and her poor, emaciated son. In fact, that was probably one of the last places that he would choose to go. Left to his own devices, his first stop would probably be the home of some well-fed one percenter a bit down the road. And yet, says today's story from 1 Kings, that emaciated widow, that shirtless guy in Central Square, that unlikely person on the periphery of our lives, that may be just the person through whom God will work to help furnish your need, to help you work out your salvation. God works through people, says today's story, even those you least expect. Now, this simple truth, which we see illustration after illustration of in the Bible story, this has caused one of the great progressive preachers of our time, the Reverend Quinn Caldwell, it has caused him to write that there is a certain amount of enlightened self-interest in being a radically welcoming community. Too often we church folk think of ourselves and our communities as places abounding with gifts, overflowing with the talents and graces that God has given to us, that we may share them with a world that's sorely in need of them. In our telling of the story, we are strong and the rest of the world is weak, in need of our saving. And this mindset carries over into the way that we welcome people into our church. We generally welcome them in that they might receive of our abundance. And while there is definitely truth to that idea, we do have a lot to share with the world. There are a lot of kind and smart and loving and talented individuals in our number. I'm thinking that if our church ever burnt down, we could get the Galanti kids alone to build us a new church. There is a lot of talent even in this little community. But today's passage cautions us to never confuse having some gifts with having them all. Elijah, after all, was a mighty prophet, chosen by God and cared for by God in a very special way. But even Elijah, today's story shows, even Elijah needed what others had. In the same way, there are things that we need, both as individuals and as a community. There are both things that we know we need, be it a job or help balancing our budget, or help ironing out a messy family situation. And there are things that we don't and won't know that we need until they're put in front of us and we realize that we've been looking for them all along. That's why there is an element of self-interest in welcoming people into our community. Who knows what the next person to walk through those doors back there, who knows what they have to offer us? We never know what unlikely person might have something from God that will physically or spiritually nourish us or heal us or save us or change us for the better. We simply do not know. So our work as a Christian community is to throw open the doors of our church, to throw open the doors of our lives, and open ourselves to the possibility that God, the God who revealed himself to us in that unlikely Galilean who supped with sinners and taught that mercy is more important than money, ours is to open ourselves to the possibility that God really does work through people, even those we least expect. Amen.